Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to riskfeestaxes.com. And you can go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, if you want to make an appointment. It's absolutely free. My name is Imran Rasby. I go by Raz, and this is my son, Daniel Rasby.
Hello.
He's the tax attorney.
Yes, and we work together. It's a father-son team, and we have a number of other advisors as well. So when you go to our website, you can talk to our firm, riskfeestaxes.com. We have a video appointment for you, so it's always virtual. You don't even have to leave your house. You can talk to us on the computer or on the phone, and we'll be happy to discuss with you and give you fiduciary advice to minimize those three killers: risk, fees, and taxes.
So I'm not a tax attorney, but Daniel is. And you know what we do in our off time these days, a lot of people do, and they surf the internet. They get on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook and see all these people giving all this amazing advice.
Yeah,
the thing is, it sounds so good. It sounds like this is amazing. And you know what I do is I send that to Daniel because he's a tax attorney. So, Daniel, what do you think about this? Will this work? Oftentimes he comes back and says, Dad, you don't want to go to jail. Don't do this. It's like, what? They're saying this is on the internet. They said this is the what?
It was an influencer that said it, and they got lots of followers. If it was illegal, wouldn't the IRS have cracked down on them? Well, the IRS can't catch everybody. And there are people that get away with a lot of things until they don't.
Yes.
And there's taking a risk with taxes, and you know, there are things that are more risky and less risky, but you definitely want to be above board. And anytime we give advice to our clients, we don't want them to cross a line where it's illegal. There are some things that, depending on the auditor you get, you can make a really good case for why it should be deductible, and they might say this shouldn't be deductible. Like, those are some gray areas, but There's not a lot of gray areas in the tax code. Most of it's pretty straightforward. It's just so complicated. There's so many things. And any idea you have, I promise you, somebody else has thought of that and tried it. And they either got away with it and clean with the law actually allows it, or they got in big trouble for it. So you need to look at the actual tax court history, what the court cases have actually said. It's not based on what you think should be legal. It's what the IRS decides is legal when they attack you.
So let's talk about a few of these things. Well, first of all, if you're looking at these ways to minimize taxes, to reduce taxes, or avoid taxes, it's usually if you're making a lot of money. I mean, if you're making 30, 40, 50,000, 100,000 even, there's not a whole lot you can do to do these things, right? But if you got a bunch of money and you're trying to do some tax planning, there's a couple things. I've heard that, you know, if you invest in like oil and gas leases, there's some great tax benefits. What are those?
That is true. There are some great tax benefits for investing in oil and gas, and this is not a made up deduction. It's not something you just you can deduct 90% sometimes.
90%.
Yeah, you put $100,000 into that investment, you can deduct 90% on your taxes potentially. Depends on the situation. So I'm using some generalizations, but that's a huge deduction, and it's because the oil well may not pan out. It may not give you the return. You might lose all your money. It's very risky, and the government knows that. Number one. And number two, they want to encourage more drilling. You've heard the phrase drill, baby, drill, right? And whether it's Republican or Democrat president, everybody knows that we still are dependent on oil. So that anything that in oil and gas has some really favorable tax benefits. Now, when you make money later out of it, you got to pay tax on all that gain. But the reason you can deduct all the money up front is because there's a statute that says this is the deduction you have. So it's not guesswork. Well, a lot of other things you deduct and you can tell the IRS, well, I actually think I should get this deduction, and you have to build a case and give all this proof why it should be deductible. But with oil and gas, it's pretty simple. There's a statutory deduction of what you can take, a certain percentage, and it may be good for you, may not be. I mean, a lot of those are illiquid. You have to wait 5 or 10 years before you can even get anything out of it. And when you do, you pay a lot of taxes on the back end. So there's a trade-off. There's no free lunch. You're always going to be something that you give up in order to get something, and depends on what your goal is. But
so
yes, it does work.
So if I understand you correctly, I have $100,000. I need a tax deduction. So I can either give $100,000 to some charity and get that tax deduction, okay? Mm-hmm. Or I could put that $100,000 into an oil gas lease, get $90,000 deduction, and then possibly make money in the end and pay taxes later.
Yeah. And the one difference between the oil and gas or the charity, well, the charity, you're limited to only 30% of your income being deducted each year. Whereas with the oil and gas, there's no limit. Go ahead.
So that's good. So there's another thing I've heard is that I was going to see these people that are buying cars for Turo or buying airplanes for leasing. And they keep saying that you can deduct all this money. I mean, but you can't use the plane or the car, but you can deduct it. What does that mean?
Well, that's a key thing. So if you saw somebody saying that you can't use it for personal use, then that was a smart person on that video, because a lot of influencers are saying, hey, you can buy all these things and you get to use it personally, but then you can also deduct it for your business if it was reasonable or ordinary or necessary for your business. And that part is not true. If you have a business, it's a legitimate business, and you actually need this for your business, the IRS is going to ask, could you have done the business without this? If the answer to that is yes, or even maybe, you probably don't get the deduction at all, right? So buying, a first class ticket somewhere, or buying a car that is used also for your own personal, well, I was always looking for clients while I was driving around town. That doesn't count. It has to actually be necessary, and it was the only way to do your business. However, if your business is involving those vehicles like Turo, you're renting cars. If you don't know what Turo is, it's like Airbnb, but for cars, where you have, instead of Airbnb, you have a hotel or you have a private house that's Airbnb. Cars, you have enterprise rental, and you have Turo. Turo is the Airbnb of the car world. So you can buy a car. If it's really only used for business, then you can deduct the entire thing potentially. And
so I could buy a Mercedes, say, for $100,000, and I could finance it. Maybe I put $10,000 and finance the rest.
Yeah.
How much can I deduct? $10,000?
$100,000.
But I only put $10,000 in.
But you own the car. It's in your name. And that's the difference between buying it and leasing it. You know, sometimes even when you're leasing it, you can deduct the entire thing. It depends on what the residual value is and all that. Or you can deduct most of it.
But I heard that the car, if I want to deduct it, it's kind of like Section 172, and it has to be over a certain weight.
179
has to be a certain weight.
Yeah, that's for
different thing.
It's a different type of deduction because it's not what the whole business is about. So there are ways to deduct the entire vehicle if it's used for a certain purpose in your business. And what if you want to use it for some other reason? Well, then you have to keep very accurate logs of when you use it and the percentage, because you can only deduct the percentage that was for business.
Hold on a second. This is extremely confusing. If you're confused like I am, because I'm not a tax attorney, you should really make an appointment. Riskfeestaxes.com. Get on the website, make an appointment. Daniel and I will talk to you. We'll give you some information. We'll find out what you're trying to do and show you some of these. So let's continue.
Yeah, there was a client, even without cars, other vehicles, you can do this. We had a client that bought a $300,000 boat, and he only put down about $30,000.
Well, he was going to pay cash because he had all this money.
Yeah.
But we talked him into not paying cash.
Right. So he only put down about $30,000 for the boat, and the bank financed the rest. His plan wasn't to use this boat. This was an investment. He's going to rent it out or lease it to these charter boat companies. So the payments he's getting from those leases cover the mortgage on the boat. But he gets to deduct the entire $300,000 today on his tax return. And that offsets dollar for dollar a $300,000 Roth conversion. So he can convert his entire IRA to Roth, if that's what was in it, at one time. And unlike the CRUT, the charitable trust, or the donor advised fund, or other charitable type of deductions, where you're limited to 30% of the AGI on the deduction, you're not limited for active businesses. So if it's an active business and you have a loss from that, there's a way to deduct that against other income. That's very important, active versus passive. And you don't want to get in trouble with active and passive. One of the key things people talk about, I'm sure you were about to ask me, but since I have the microphone, I'm going to hog it for a second, is Airbnbs, bonus depreciation and long-term rentals. If you buy a rental property, you have this bonus depreciation. You can deduct a whole bunch of years up front. You can't deduct the whole house, but at least you can deduct a third of it or a quarter of the house. If you get really aggressive, maybe even 2/3 of the cost of the house, you can deduct all in 1 year. Well, that's great. But if it's a passive loss, well, then you can't use it against your other income, which would include W-2 income, maybe including Roth conversions, other business profits. So that's very important. You need it to be an active loss in order to be able to be deducted against other income. And how do you do that? Well, there's two ways. You can be a real estate professional. That means either
you have a license for that.
No, you don't have a license, but either you or your spouse has to be able to prove that they spend at least 750 hours a year of work in that real estate business. And that there was no other job that they spent more time doing. It was at least 50% of the time they did spend working, and it was at least 750 hours. If you have a property manager for your property, it is going to be very difficult to prove to the auditor that this was an actively managed business because you're paying someone else to manage it. So unless you can show all the hours that you spent and what you did researching and buying other properties, doing the work to repair the house yourself, even if somebody else is managing the tenants, there are things you could have a manager, but you want to be very, very careful and prove what all the other things that you did that to make it active. Airbnb is considered active by default. That's really important. You don't have to be a real estate professional to have an Airbnb and have it be an active loss. So that's why Airbnbs are very popular for tax deductions. Even if you don't make a huge profit in the first couple of years for the during the setup, you can deduct a lot of costs against other income. But don't buy a property that's not going to be profitable. Don't buy a boat or a plane that's not going to be profitable. You want to make profit because if you're losing money, then the tax deduction is not worth it.
Yeah, you either lose money to somebody else or lose money to the government. It doesn't make a difference. You're still losing money.
If you're going to do something, don't do it only for the tax deduction. Do it because it's also a good investment, and the tax deduction makes it an even better investment. But if it was a bad investment in the first place, tax deduction doesn't fix that. It just makes it a little bit less bad of an investment.
Yeah. So another thing I've heard is that, you know, if you have a business and you're, you know, in retirement or whatever, you have a business, you can do a C corporation, and a C corporation gets paid, but you can defer your income, and then you don't have any taxes on that income, and then you can borrow the money from the C corporation at a very low interest rate. Can you do that? Is that legal?
Sort of. Yes, it is, but you got to be careful because, again, if you leave too much money in the company and you're loaning it to yourself without clear terms, without actually paying the interest, and the IRS publishes what interest you're supposed to pay yourself. So it's very clear. If you're not doing that, you don't have a formal loan agreement, then the IRS can call that a distribution to a shareholder instead, and they can penalize the company and you, so you could pay a lot extra tax and penalties, more than you would have paid anyway. So you make sure it's done correctly, but there are ways to keep money in the company, pay only 21% tax instead of 37 if you're at the 37% bracket, and then keep it for investment inside the company, and maybe even loan to yourself, to the shareholder, if there's a business purpose for the company to do so.
So there's a lot of neat things you can do, but just don't listen to just some, you know, random person on TikTok or whatever. Talk to a tax attorney. You're going to go to riskfeestaxes.com, get on Daniel's calendar, and really talk to somebody that knows what that is. And if there's something new, that's fine. We can research it. We can find out what the tax laws are. We can find out what the IRS has stated and give you actual information. And when we give you information, it is actual legal advice. It's not just something somebody said and you hope for the best.
Yes. Talk to you soon. RiskFeesTaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit RiskFeesTaxes.com. That's RiskFeesTaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.